Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. We rejoice with those that rejoice. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we are so thrilled for what God has done, is doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's changing us. Amen. I said he's changing us. Praise the Lord. And he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We honor you tonight. We are so thankful for what you have begun. And you that began a good work in us will complete it. Hallelujah. So we thank you for what you've begun. We thank you what you're doing. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. And so, Father God, we thank you for the things that have begun already in individuals. We thank you for the things that have begun here at Redeeming Love Christian Center, Poconos. Lord, we thank you for what you've done in these meetings, what you're doing in the churches, what you're doing in our hearts individually. We know, Lord, that you have a purpose and a plan. You're leading us forward. And Father, we are reaching forward to those things that are before us. Glory to God. We're reaching forward to the things that you have reached for us. Glory to God. So we thank you, we honor you, we give you glory for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Paul said this in Philippians, the third chapter. He said this, not that I have already attained, verse 12, or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. That I'm pressing, he said, I'm pressing to lay hold of what Jesus Christ has already laid hold of me. Isn't that an interesting way to say something? I'm pressing for something that Jesus has already reached me. We were saying last evening, and so I encourage you to go ahead and get the CD from last night, but we were saying last night that the Isaiah says that God inhabits eternity. He fills up and lives in eternity. And to put that into perspective, right now you occupy a chair, right? That's as far as you go. You can't be in two places at once. You can't be in two times at once with your physical body. Amen. But in the Spirit, God fills up all of eternity. There isn't a time or a space where he isn't already there. It is always now with God. That's why we boldly say he is a present help in time of trouble, right? We don't have to ask God, come here. He's already here. Amen. We don't have to look. He doesn't have to look down some long corridor of time to see your future. He's already in it. That's why he's already reaching for us, and we're pressing forward, right? Because we think linear. We think time, right? We think in terms of calendars and dates and times, and so our brains they figure things out that way. We think in terms of hours and minutes and days and how long something takes, and doctors, for example, will say in a matter of a month, you know, something's going to happen, and they think in terms of time, right? But God is not limited by time. Amen. He is not pressured by time. Time does not faze him. Matter of fact, let me invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to Revelation. Revelation, the 10th chapter. Praise the Lord. We're just going to declare some things tonight. Amen. And we are going to, by the help of the Holy Ghost, bust. We're going to bust some balloons, amen, that the devil has, kind of blown up in front of us and said, you can't get past this place. We're going to bust a wall down tonight, amen. Let's just bust this wall down, praise God, that we're limited by time, or we only have so much time, or time is the thing that's going to just, it's going to govern the way we think and the way we feel and the, oh, come on, all right? Look here in Revelation, the 10th chapter, it says this, verse 5, the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. That word delay here in the New King James literally is the word time. That there should be time no longer. So when God gets all this back, you know what I mean? When he gets it all back, at the end of days, we sort of say, when God gets this all back and he gets it every the way he exactly wants it, there won't be any time. Isn't that right? In heaven, there's no need of the sun. Because Jesus is the light. Amen? And when we think in terms of the sun and the moon, we think in terms of days and cycles and, right? And thankfully, his mercies are new every morning. Amen? But they don't expire at midnight. His mercy endures forever. He is the same, Hebrews said, yesterday, today, forever. Amen? Forever. When God introduced himself to Moses at the burning bush, you remember? There's Moses going up on the mountain, and the bush is burning there, and he stops to investigate it. And the Lord was talking to him, you know, he said, of course, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. And the Lord began to talk to him and introduce himself. And Moses said to him, you know, he said, well, when I go back to the children of Israel, how would you like me to introduce you? And God said, tell them, I am, has sent me to you. Moreover, he said, I am, glory to God, I am, has sent me to you. What is I am? I am is present tense. Amen? Why? He's not an I was. He's not a has been. With God, it's always now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Once again, we think so many times in terms of days and nights and calendars and hours. And you think about it, even if we're not going to get, I don't want to get too technical tonight because we're just talking, trying to get, our, we're going to bust this wall down of opposition. Amen. That we've come up against time thinking it limits us. But I, like I said, I don't want to get too technical, but even in the book of Genesis, when you see the very beginnings, when God created the heavens and the earth, amen, and we know he did it in how many days? 6 days, the Bible said, and he rested on the seventh, amen. And, you know, I'm not a Bible scholar by any stretch, but looking at the days when he created everything, you think we think in terms of, like he didn't even make the sun and the moon until the fourth day. I said he didn't even make the sun and the moon until the fourth day. So it's not like he said, okay, I got 24 hours to make the first things and then 24 hours to make the next things and 24, you know. He didn't even make what we call days and nights until his fourth day. We think in terms, again, we've got to wait, I need something finite. Right? I need something concrete. I need, but he inhabits eternity. Praise the Lord. Amen. So think about this. Science tells us that nothing in the universe is at rest. Right? So everything's moving. Atoms and neutrons and electrons and all that kind of stuff. I don't know all the terms, but nothing is at rest. Everything's moving. But how many of you know what God did on the seventh day? Amen? He rested. Praise the Lord. And how many of you know this? That in the presence of the Lord, amen, think about this, in the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant. Remember what some they kept some things in that ark, right? There was manna in the ark. There was a jar of manna in the ark. Well, when God provided manna in the wilderness, he told the children of Israel, only gather what you can eat in one day, right? Why? I'll be here tomorrow. Right? In other words, learn to depend on me as your provider. Learn to depend on me. You don't have to provide for yourself. I will be here tomorrow. Amen? So he said, don't gather too much. Don't gather too little. Gather what you can eat. Correct? And they did. Well, you can imagine that first week of gathering manna, how people are having to, you know, adjust. Isn't that right? So probably the first day they're going, well, you know, we don't know. He said he'd be here tomorrow, right? So they probably gathered a lot, and you know what happened, right? If they had too much, what happened to it? It rotted. There's no such thing as stale manna. There's no like, you know, day old donuts. Crunchy bread, you know. It was rotten. Disgusting rotten, right? Not edible rotten. And he said, I told you, I'll be here tomorrow. You don't have to make do for yourself because you think maybe I won't be here tomorrow, right? So every day they're learning, he's going to be here tomorrow. He said he'd deliver it tomorrow. So every morning they're realizing his mercies are new. Every morning. Every morning I'm here for you. Every day I'm here for you, right? Well, then it gets up to the day before the Sabbath. And the Lord said, okay, tomorrow's going to be different. Tomorrow's going to be different. There won't be manna tomorrow, so gather enough for 2 days today. Right? Gather enough for 2 days today. Imagine them going, oh, I don't know about that. We already proved it doesn't last. We already proved it's rotten. So you can imagine some of those folks said, I'm not gathering enough for 2 days. It stunk up my house when I tried to do it before. They're still the same unbelieving ones that, you know, the first time. Right? But he said, gather enough for 2 days. He said, don't be concerned about it. We'll be resting tomorrow. We'll be resting tomorrow. So they gathered up enough for 2 days and it did not spoil. Why? The presence of the Lord. As a matter of fact, then, they kept a jar of manna in the Ark of the Covenant, and it never spoiled in the perpetual presence of the Lord. Where time has no effect. Huh? Time could have no effect in the presence of the Lord where he inhabits eternity. In that Ark of the Covenant, that manna never spoiled. Aaron's rod that budded, they put that in the Ark of the Covenant. There it was forever preserved in the presence of the Lord. In his presence, the Bible says, there is freedom. There is liberty. In his presence. So where there's no effect of time in his presence, how could cancer grow? How could disease progress? But you see, we separate ourselves from his presence so much. And we think, wait, he's way up here and I'm way down here. How could I really be in the presence of the Lord? But the Bible says, he that is in faith enters into rest. Praise the Lord. Amen. Enters into rest. In the presence of the Lord, praise God, there aren't the same effects of time. Think about Jesus' response to some things that we think are impossible situations where time is concerned. There was a man named Lazarus, a good friend of the Lord. His sisters, Mary and Martha, were very dear to the Lord. And Lazarus was sick. Jesus wasn't there. He was out of town. But he knew that Lazarus was sick. And he stayed away. He stayed out of town. He was not pressured. He didn't go, oh man, we got to get to Bethany. We got to get Lazarus. We have got to get there. He didn't. He didn't rush, right? Matter of fact, Lazarus died. And Jesus said, well, we got to go back to Bethany. Lazarus is asleep. And his disciples said, well, Lord, if he's asleep, that's good. You know, he'll get rest and he'll get better. And Jesus said, well, no, he died. And Jesus said this. But he said this, and I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. But now we're going to go wake him up. Interesting even that Jesus said, I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there, meaning he was going to die. Anyway, whether Jesus was there or not, Lazarus is going to die. He said, but it's not over. It's not over, right? He said, it's not over. So he says, let's go wake him up. So when they get there, Mary and Martha both said at different times, Lord, if you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died. But Jesus already told his disciples, I'm glad I wasn't there for your sakes, right? If you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died. But Jesus says, I'm here now. Where is he? Let's go. Take the stone away. And they said, but Lord, it's been 4 days now. And I like the King James, by this time he stinketh. Right? Kind of like that rotten manna. Yeah, no two ways about it. You can't be partly dead. Right? And so everything that happens in those 4 days had happened to Lazarus. But Jesus says, roll the stone away. He said, didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So what is his response to something that's too late? He just goes to the tomb and he says, Lord, I thank you that you hear me always. Lazarus, come forth. And he came out, didn't he? I said, he came out. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. In Mark's Gospel, the 5th chapter, you see there was a man called Jairus. He was an important man, and his daughter was at the point of death. And he said to Jesus, if you'll come and lay your hands on her, my daughter will live and not die, and she'll be healed. So Jesus said, okay, I'll come. Well, he didn't go, come on, guys, we've got to go. Come on. He just said, I'll come. So they're on their way to Jairus' house. His daughter is at the point of death. Now there's a woman who comes in the meantime. We talked about her the other night, Mark chapter 5. She had an issue of blood 12 years. 12 years. She came in the press behind, touched his clothes because she said, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be whole. So Jesus all of a sudden feels power go out of him. She felt power go into her. He stopped and said, who touched my clothes? I want to know what's going on here. Who just got healed? Remember? Who just got healed? And so she came, and the Bible says she told him all the truth. And I've said this before, women can tell all the truth, right? Sometimes we want to tell our whole story. I mean, all of us do, you know, at some point. We want to let you know just how bad it was. So she's telling, you know, and sometimes people do that even after we lay our hands on them, you know, and the healing power of God will go in, and then they'll talk to us after the service and go, yeah, you don't know how bad. And then they start rehearsing all how horrible it was, and they're practically just taking it all back. Be careful of that. Amen. So she told him all the truth. The first doctor said this, the second doctor said that, the third doctor said, right, because she suffered many things of many physicians. You can only imagine how long the story took. Jairus, in the meantime, is thinking, come on, Jesus. My daughter's at the point of death. You're not hurrying. We've got business. In the meantime, while the woman is telling Jesus the story, people from Jairus' house come and say, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter has died. Jesus heard what they said. He's listening to the woman tell the story. He looks at Jairus and says this, don't stop believing. So what's Jesus' answer to, she's already dead? Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. What stops us often from believing is simply something due to time. A deadline. Well, the deadline's passed, must be over. No, no, not if you keep believing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because in the presence of the Lord, he's not pressured by time. Now, that doesn't mean things have to take a long time either. In the ministry of Jesus, we have 19 examples in the Gospels, 19 different examples of people, individuals who came to Jesus for healing. Of course, there were multitudes in other times and places as well, but we have 19 basically case histories where we can see what they came for, why they came, what they needed, and how Jesus ministered to them. Out of those 19 individual examples, 16 out of the 19 were instant healings. 16 out of the 19 were instant healings. When we say something like that, though, and people kind of go, oh, yeah, I'm probably one of the other three. Yeah, that's me. I never get it right away. I'm probably one of the other. Anybody want to know what happened to the other three in the ministry of Jesus? The other three? Within the hour. Within the hour. Everybody say, within the hour.
Within the hour.
So wait an hour if you want to. If it's always now with God, if right now it's now, right? It's now. But now that now's already gone. Now it's now. Both those nows are gone. Now it's now. Can we keep going? When we dismiss the service tonight, guess what time it'll be? Now. When you get up tomorrow morning, what time will it be? 2 weeks from now, it'll be now, right? So, but with God, it's always now. So you can wait 2 weeks, but it'll still be now with God. But if we're thinking in terms, am I confusing you completely now? Or are we just kind of stirring the pot enough to let you realize, listen, he really is not limited the way we think, those terms that we think in, like God's got to do it by Friday, he's got to do it by Tuesday, he's got to do it by the first of the month. Why? If it's always now, just receive now. Get your mind off of deadlines. Get your mind off of time being the thing that's going to prove whether God did it or not. People say sometimes, well, you know, I know you laid hands on me, but I'll know it by Thursday. The reason that doesn't make sense is because now this person, if they said, I'll know it by Thursday, means I'm going to wait till Thursday to see if he did anything. But the Bible says, when you pray, believe you receive. When? When you pray. So when do you receive? When you pray. So when do you know you have it? When you pray. I know I've got it. I've already got it. Why? It's always now with God. It's been delivered to me. Amen? Jesus said this, the kingdom of God can be compared to seed that's put into the ground. Isn't that right? A farmer plants it. He doesn't know how it works, but he puts it in the ground and pretty soon something comes up, right? And then something else comes up and then it starts developing more and more. He doesn't know how it happened. All he did was put the seed in the ground because the life is already in the seed. The life is already in the seed.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. You don't have to try to make it work. Seed, you better work. No amount of concentration will get it to grow faster or get it to do, and every seed bears its own fruit. A tree takes longer to grow than a tomato plant, right? Or maybe you had those things, and when you were in school, I remember we had the little Dixie cups, and we had the little experiment. You know, we put them on the windowsill in our classroom to watch things grow. Pretty soon, that little green would come up, and you're like, wow, that was just a little seed. But it comes up because the life is already in it. Amen? The life is already in the Word of God. He is the living Word. Praise the Lord. Amen? Glory to God. So when we plant the Word, we believe, we receive, it's working. Praise God. It's working. It's working. It's working because it's always now with God. We're not waiting for some other event to tell us whether we've got it or not. We said last night, we set our GPS for our destination, right? In your car, you set the GPS for a certain destination. You're going to get to that destination. Something might happen along the way sometimes and traffic comes or there's an accident ahead of you that's beyond your control. And it may delay your destination, but you're still getting there. So time is not the thing. You don't go 20 minutes in and go, well, I'm not there yet. I guess I'm wrong. I guess it's just not possible to get there if I'm not already there in 20 minutes. No, the destination has never changed. Praise the Lord. Amen. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody say, Jesus is here. He is here. Amen. He is here. Glory to God. And if he's here, everything he has is here. Let me call your attention to John's gospel. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Jesus said this. Verse 12. John chapter 3, verse 12. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Let me say that verse again. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. Kind of seems like a play on time, doesn't it? He said, nobody's gone up to heaven except for the one who came down from heaven, the one who is in heaven. So he said he came from heaven, right? But he's in heaven. Isn't that what he's saying? I came from there, but I'm still there, even though I'm here. Right? So he's in two places at one time. In heaven and in earth, operating on the earth, but operating in heavenly principles, operating in heavenly time, right here on the earth. Glory to God, like the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the Lord. He is, when God said you call his name Jesus, he's Emmanuel, God with us. Glory to God. And even better now, Christ in us. In us. We are now the temples of the Holy Spirit. Now we're carrying around the presence of the Lord in us. Could we believe what is available just by being temples of the Holy Spirit? What God is able to do, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The anointing. The Bible says in Isaiah, the 10th chapter and the 27th verse, it is the anointing that destroys the yoke. So what is the anointing? It's God on. God on something. To anoint simply means to paint or to rub on or to smear. So the anointing is God on something or on a person or on a situation. And so that yoke must be destroyed because God gets on it. Hallelujah. It's the anointing. So the Bible tells us in Acts the 10th chapter how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How did all those things get accomplished? God was on him. Amen? God was on him. Paul, the Bible says that Paul, miracles were done by the hands of Paul. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. God did it. Amen? By the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought handkerchiefs or aprons, Acts the 19th chapter says. And when those cloths were laid on the sick, the evil spirits departed from them and they were healed, glory to God, because it was the anointing. How God anointed, praise the Lord. All we're after, all we're talking about is taking the limits off of what we think in our natural realm is the way things have to be because of time. God's not limited by time. Amen. Praise God. So if you can take your brain off of time for a minute and just say, listen, time just doesn't matter. It's not a factor. Amen. As long as the anointing gets on it, the yoke has to be destroyed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's why Jesus said, all things are possible. All things. Everybody say, all things. All things are possible. Amen. God still anoints today. His presence is on people today. Amen. His presence can be oftentimes even felt. Amen. We don't have to feel it, but oftentimes we can feel his presence. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I had an experience years ago with the Lord myself where I had, oftentimes we served another ministry. We served Brother Kenneth Hagin for many years, and Brother Hagin had a special anointing to minister to the sick that the Lord gave him. God calls and equips those. Amen? With special ministry. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, talks about how God has appointed some in the church, and he talks about those of gifts of healings and workings of miracles. Glory to God. It's a God on a person thing. You don't call yourself, God does it. Amen? So we served Brother Hagin's ministry, and Brother Hagin had a tremendous healing anointing. And over the course of time, in our working with him so much, he oftentimes would lay his hands on my hands and that anointing would be transferred into my hands and he would tell me to go minister to the sick. Praise the Lord. It's just God on a person. Amen? It's God. It's all God. Amen? And so we would do that over the course of time. And then Kevin and I in 1994 were praying in a room with three other ministers. And while we were praying, the Spirit of God just filled that room, just filled it up. And the anointing just fell on us. And while we were praying, I sensed, really, to be honest with you, I sensed myself kind of leaving my body and going up. Well, it frightened me, to be quite honest with you, because I'd never experienced anything like that before. And so I kind of drew back from it. All of a sudden, the power of God hit me like it had never hit me before. I'm experienced with the power of God, but this hit me like never before. I went up and I stood against the wall to keep from falling down. And when I did, I just kind of slid down the wall. And I sat on the floor and the power of God came into my hands. And before, I would always feel this power kind of just like heat in my hands. And this time, it started in my hands and went all the way up my arms like I was holding live wires. Maybe some of you have had that experience where you got hold of some electricity. And it felt like I couldn't let go of it. It had me, not I had it, but it had me. And that power went all the way up into my shoulders, and it felt so strong, like electricity, that it actually was painful. It was that powerful. So I grabbed Kevin's hand, and I said, surely you can feel this. This is tangible. And he said, I'm sorry, I can't feel it. I grabbed the other minister's hand. I said, please tell me you can feel this. It was that real to me. He said, I'm sorry, I can't feel it. I said, I'm just having a conversation with the Lord. I said, what's happening? And he said, up until now, you've ministered with an anointing by association with Brother Hagin. He says, but this one's yours. He said, I endeavored for you to come up to receive it. That's how Brother Hagin did. He said, I called him up. He said, but you wouldn't come. But he's so sweet. So he said, instead, I had to give it to you really through the flesh in that realm. And so you felt it that way. He said, it would have been easier on you if you had come up. So as it was, you know, Jesus said, nobody has ascended up except the one who came down, and he's still there. So he said, you had to receive it while you were here in the flesh. It would have been easier on your flesh if you had just come up. Things of heaven and things of the Spirit are real. Amen. And so, he said, this anointing is yours now. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, we've got to tell people about it so you can receive from it. Jesus did. Luke chapter 4, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. He told people, this is what you can expect. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. And you can expect to receive the anointing. Hallelujah. And so we tell people what happened so that you can know what to expect when hands are laid on you for healing. Praise the Lord. You've heard a few testimonies this evening of what happened here just in the last couple of weeks. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sunday morning at Redeeming Love over in Nanuet, several people were healed. Sunday morning, Sunday night, lots of people were healed in their eyes. Praise God. They said they had seen spots or something, and they looked around and it was gone. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Several people, the hips were healed, had freedom of mobility and no pain. A lady left and said that her asthma was healed, her lungs were opened. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God's moving. Amen. It's God on people. God ministers to us through people. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that God would minister to us? Praise the Lord. Amen. So we want to give you the opportunity tonight to have hands laid on you for healing. Praise the Lord. And that anointing will destroy the yoke. That anointing will destroy the yoke. Jesus is the healer. Amen. I said Jesus is the healer. And that anointing is available for you tonight. I can already feel it in my hands. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And all you need to do is believe and receive. Amen? And when do you believe you receive? When hands are laid on you. Amen? And then immediately that power goes into you. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And God is faithful. Amen?